Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Before you get too comfortable in your pews, how about let's pass the peace? If you will stand and speak to your friends and neighbors and greet the strangers next to you. Now let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside of your bulletin at the top. A lot of activities taking place this week at this wonderful church, all the way from small group activities to larger group activities. You might want to note tonight the singles and single again group will be going bowling for those of you who are interested in joining them. Then you will notice that tomorrow night is a very important meeting of the stewardship committee at 5:30 in the library. If you'll check your calendar on the back of your bulletin, you will see some of the other things that are happening this next week. One thing I really do want to encourage you to attend, you will see there is an insert in your bulletin about the coffee house that's at 6:30 in the youth wing, and it is on Tuesday night. It's open to everybody. It will be entertaining for everyone, and we encourage you to please come and participate. It's going to be fun. You'll get dessert. They're going to feed you something, and they're going to entertain you. So make an effort. And you don't have to be a youth or a parent of a youth to attend. Support our young folks and this really exciting event. So if you would please make an effort, the youth will really appreciate your support. I also want to call your attention, it's noted in the back of your bulletin, about the community Lenten worship services. This week we go to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, and as you know, there's lunch before and lunch after the worship service. So do make an effort to attend as we are preparing in this Lenten season to celebrate Easter. You might also want to note that there will be a single again movie night on Friday night. And if you got your newsletter this week, if you didn't, then come by the church and get one. You will notice that there are two events to look forward to. One is the Kairos Prison Ministry that will be taking place on the 24th through the 27th here, and there will be cookies that will be given, and we support that ministry. So read your newsletter article on the Kairos ministry. You will also notice coming up the also in the back of the bulletin, the Red Cross, and the your ability to participate in that and work with the response team or find out what you can do. Just this last week there was a major fire at the Carriage House apartments just across the street from Main Street, and the Red Cross has already responded to that family in need, not to mention the times that they respond everywhere else. So come and find out more about your local Red Cross and how you can participate as well. Now let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage.
Because we are citizens of God's righteous reign, Jesus calls on us to repent. That is, to turn toward God, take up our cross, and leave behind all that keeps us from following Jesus. Let us acknowledge before God and this congregation our need for repentance. God of glory, you sent your Son Jesus to die that we might have life. Show us the ways we failed to answer your call. Keep us from being bound to possess, from longing for outward approval, from listening to voices that distract us from your word, from hesitating to lose our old lives and take up your new life. Our help comes from you, O Lord. Keep us from all evil. In Jesus' name. Let us have a moment of silent prayer as we make our own confessions to God. Jesus, our Lord, was handed over to death for our trespasses. The God who raised this same Jesus from the dead welcomes those who truly repent in Jesus' name and will transform us to conform to His glory. Thanks be to God. Let us join together in a modern affirmation: where the Spirit of the Lord is, There is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and the Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the glory of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Power.
The Old Testament reading for today is the first four verses of the 12th chapter of Genesis. If you wish to follow along this passage, it can be found on page 12 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. Our readings today invite us to believe and be reborn. In the Old Testament passage, Abram, later called Abraham, leaves his country and his people, following God into a new life. Hear now a reading of God's Word. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The epistle reading is from the fourth chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Paul explains how Abraham's faith, revealed in his willingness to believe and act on God's promises, makes him right with God. Listen again for God's word. "What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was not justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither there is violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations.' In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who does give life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
That felt good, didn't it? Amen. We'd like to go to prayer at this time, remembering the needs of our church family. And we pray that God would be with them. You see them as they are listed in our bulletin. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy Lord, as we bow before you this day, giving thanks to you for your blessings and for the family of God that has gathered here this day, for the gifts that each one brings, how they make the family of God complete. And yet, Lord, knowing that there's always room for more, more at the table to enjoy the bounty that you have prepared for us. So we thank you again, dear Lord, for this time of worship, for the voices that have lifted up in praise and glory to you, for those who have worked in the Sunday school classes and have taught this day, for those who have kept the numbers, counted the money, acknowledged those who were absent, filled in the gap and made up the hedge. We pray for those who are not able to be here with this family today. Dear God, that you would touch them. Touch them, Almighty God, in their neediest area, in the innermost part of their being. Strengthen them. Encourage their families, their biological families. Let them know this day that they are being prayed for by the family of God. Again, we pray for those who are serving our nation, serving our country, serving in the world of ours, those who are in harm's way, civilian and military persons alike, and for all that's transpiring in nations, dear God, we don't know, but we trust in you, that you will guide us, and that all things will work out for good. Help us, O God, to make the right choices. Be with those who are serving in churches, and we are so thankful that in the tragedy that has taken place in Japan, that we know that your church and your family is there. Dear God, be with those precious people all over this world who are hurting. We realize again that we don't always understand all the acts of nature, but we know who created all things, and we trust in you. Be with those in leadership over us, our bishop and our president, and we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for these gifts that have been given by your children. Bless these gifts, O God, for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ and those who gave and those who choose not to give. Let all be done for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Before the children's message, we will hear a stewardship message from Lincoln and Rhonda McGinnis.
Good morning, everyone. Consecration Sunday is scheduled for April 3rd, just 2 weeks away. This Sunday will be a very important Sunday in the life of Main Street United Methodist Church and can be a crucial time in your personal lives as we discuss how you can grow spiritually in your relationship with God. We will have a combined service at 10:30 a.m. on that morning with no breakfast and no Sunday school. We will follow the service with a celebration lunch in the fellowship hall. This will be a catered meal, not a potluck or covered dish meal. Therefore, we will need reservations to know how many people to prepare for. As I continue to speak, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and pass out reservation cards to each individual. Please complete these cards as you sit in the pews, and the ushers will then come back to collect these cards in just a few minutes. It is important for everyone to complete a reservation card. Anyone that does not complete a card will receive a call from a member of our stewardship committee because we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to attend the lunch and join in the celebration as we begin our spiritual growth as a church and as individuals.
Last Sunday, Debbie Kelly stood and shared with us a little bit about Moses and reminded of his great commitment to God. And when I first contemplated, what am I going to say about this, I was reminded of the story of David, not King David, but of a quiet, rather plain-spoken, simple man, one David from Jackson, Mississippi. David probably had little, if any, formal post-secondary education. Yet, when he spoke, his words were so profound, if someone had the opportunity, they tended to listen. And one day, David shared a story with a group of us about his aunt who had come home to visit from a faraway northern state. And after a happy evening where they reminisced about old times, probably ate a good meal, laughed and shared, the aunt retired to an upstairs bedroom where she was going to be staying during her visit with the family. After she had gone up in a short amount of time, the family downstairs was very startled when they heard a very loud sound as if someone had fallen. And they ran upstairs and threw open her door and concerned for her, "Are you okay? Are you okay? What happened?" And I just imagine she had little stars like you see in a cartoon. She looked up, sitting on the wooden floor beside her bed, and said, "Well, when I got in the bed, I stayed too close to the edge." Each night when I tuck my children in, we say a few prayers of Thanksgiving. We pray for those we know who are in particularly great need. And oftentimes, part of our prayers of Thanksgiving are for our church. I don't know that I would feel a sense of praying for Thanksgiving for our church had we stayed too close to the edge. I'm very grateful that here at Main Street, it was easy to be drawn to the center where we're warm, we're safe, we're supported, we're loved by each of you. There are so many opportunities. It's easy to be drawn, take that first step to come in. God has richly blessed my life in so many ways, far beyond what I deserve. I, who tend to easily judge others, who tend to pity myself or worry, yet I have everything I need and so much more. A loving, supportive family, a loving, supportive church family, a safe place to live where I'm free to go about my day. And I have also been blessed with time to do things, to be a part of this church. There's so many ways you can give of your time, your talents. So I invite you, if you feel like you may be a little bit close to the edge, to take that step and move toward the center from where our lifeblood flows. So thank you. I appreciate it.
I wanted to say just a couple of things also. Rhonda's kind of hinted at the fact that what was on my mind this morning is I just have a really wonderful life. You know, I have a loving wife. We have a great relationship. I have wonderful children that I love, that just seeing them brings me joy. You know, I have a community of faith and love that we belong to here in Greenwood in this church. I have comforts that I would never have dreamed I could have. And, you know, most importantly, I have a Savior, and who sent the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, and a relationship with God that I never understood or dreamed possible in the past. 20 years ago, I would never have imagined that any of these things could happen in my life. When I am able to kind of look beyond my own ego and my own false pride, I can see that none of these things are because of who I am. They're because of who God is. And it's only by His grace and love that I have this wonderful life today. My prayer for myself and for all of us is that as I go through my life and make choices about the things that I do, that the choices I make please God and honor God and show Him the gratitude I feel for the life I have today. I'm going to read one last little thing. Our stewardship effort this year and in subsequent years is based on the biblical philosophy of the need of the giver to give for his or her own spiritual development rather than on the need of the church to receive. Instead of treating people like members of a social club who should pay dues, we will treat people like followers of Jesus Christ who want to give unselfishly as an act of discipleship. New Consecration Sunday encourages people toward proportionate and systematic giving in response to the question, what is God calling me to give? Thank you very much.
I now invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. If you'll come over here on the side, we're going to do all these on the side for a while. Sit right here. Good. Good morning. Last week, Miss Kathy told you that we're going to be doing a series of symbols of the Lenten season. And the first symbol was what?
Rocks.
What is this?
Water.
Water is the main ingredient that is necessary to generate and sustain life. If you have a little plant and you put it in the ground and you don't get it any water, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. It's going to just shrivel up and die. And people every day across our country, in other countries, die because they don't have what you're looking at, clean water. I have a cousin whose name is Doc Henley, and he has dedicated his life, and he goes into countries, and he sets up water filtration systems so that people can have clean water to drink. Water is a wonderful thing. You know, if you just didn't have any water, what would happen to your bodies? Well, you couldn't live without water, right? And when you're really dirty, and you get mud all over you, or you've been out playing, and you just feel icky, right? There's nothing better than what?
Water.
Water. To come in and wash it off. And do you know that to wash in Greek is baptism? And so the Greek word for to wash is baptism. And so when you are little children, you're baptized with the water. In some denominations, they put people all the way under water to baptize them. And that's a symbol of washing away the sin and letting the Holy Spirit come in. Because Jesus is our living water. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. She said if she didn't have water in the swimming pool, she couldn't go swimming lessons. And that's exactly right. Yeah, and if there was no water there, you wouldn't float around, would you? What would you do? You would have to walk, or you just plop to the bottom, wouldn't you? So we need water to hold us up sometimes, don't we? And that's what Jesus is to us. He is the living water. He is given that title because he comes into us and he generates this spirit that revives us and restores us. And so that is why water is one of the elements of the Lenten season, because we need to think about Jesus as being our source of life, the living water. If you would, if you'd bow your heads, I'm going to pray, and then at the end we'll just say amen, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our living water, for being our source of refreshment and restoration. Be with us and let us understand that we are to be born of the water and the Spirit if we are to be in the kingdom of God. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to John. Begin reading with the first verse of the third chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I don't mind telling you that as I have read this passage of Scripture and I have processed it through my mind and I have struggled with it during this week, because I'm not so sure that I am hermeneutically true, as we say it in seminary, to the passage, but I am speaking from my heart. I remember several years ago, more years now than I like to recall, at Northside School in Woodruff, when all of a sudden we would find out that the nurses were there. And they were there to give us our polio vaccine. And I can remember those things hurting. I see some nodding heads and some agreeing. Your arms would swell up. And I do believe that I must have been sick when they came back for the booster, because the next year they said I had to start all over again. But you know, I remember one day in Joanna, I went with my mother and dad after church, and lo and behold, guess what? I was to take the vaccine again because of my age, I think it was, and they had it put on sugar cubes. Now that's talking. And so this past year when I received my flu shot, I understand that some folks can receive a flu sniff. You can squirt it up your nose and have the vaccine. So that's so changes are being made, and we don't have to continue. I read where they have come up with a genetic potato that can keep people from being infected with E. coli and reduce diarrhea. There are others that are working with genetic changes in goat's milk so that they can prevent malaria. And so there are some genetic changes that are being made in our world. And as we think about those changes, and we read this passage of Scripture this morning, and Jesus is speaking to a well-learned, well-versed Jewish fella that has come to the acknowledgement that no one could do those wonderful things that Jesus was doing except God was with him. I think about John in his first few verses. He says, In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He hears the Word as he was walking and living among us. I get caught up sometimes when I read these passages of Scripture and just think of what it would have been like, no matter who you were, to have been in the presence of Jesus. What it was like to talk to the very Son of God. I remember a young man who played a musical instrument, and he played it with his feet, and he's got quite an accomplished band, and he travels all over the world, and he's of the Catholic faith, and we were talking one day, and he played for Pope John Paul, and Pope John Paul hugged him, and I remember him saying, I could hear his heartbeat. I could hear the Pope's heart beating. And I thought about this godly man and his heart beating for the world and what it meant to him. And I can only imagine what it would have been like to have been in Jesus' presence, to have been so close. Nicodemus could talk to him, and he came by night. I guess many of us can identify with coming to Jesus by night, so to speak, as we come out of our own humanness and our own sinfulness. When we come to Jesus with our own shortcomings. I have a good friend of mine who is 33 years sobriety, and I was talking with him on the way to the seminar this week. We were talking on the cell for a while, and he says, Terry, it's not my drinking that bothers me anymore, it's my stinking thinking. My stinking thinking. And here was Nicodemus, and he was thinking. God, no, Jesus, nobody can do what you're doing. Well, what did he do? Well, he turned a drab wedding party into a celebration when he turned the water into wine. And he went to the temple and he ran out the money changers. He said, you're making my father's house a house of thieves and robbers. As I think about those miracles that Nicodemus saw, and I think about what I see and how I want my relationship with God to be healthy and wholesome, and yet to embrace our humanness. And he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to talk with some ministers in another day about this passage of Scripture, but Jesus speaks this to him prior to his crucifixion. So what was this born again? And so as I look at it and I think about it, the one thing that I embrace is that it's a journey. That we're all on this journey. There's a lot of times we made presuppositions about what these individuals did, and Nicodemus left him. But maybe he returned as one who was born again. And that's our journey. Our journey is to be a part of the family, to love and embrace each other as we love and embrace God. But more than that, as God loves and embraces us, it's a genetic change. It's something that's taking place within us. Story was told that in 1992, a group of Union Theological Seminary doctorate program students met with Gorbachev. And they asked him they said, what do you credit the fall of communism to? And he talked about a lot of things, and some of the inability to utilize their natural resources, the inability to feed their people. And then he made this statement. He said, one thing we did not acknowledge and I'm going to paraphrase this, the spiritual hunger within individuals. That same group on May Day, a national holiday in Russia, they were invited by a principal to come to the school. This is in Russia. To come to the school, and they wanted to talk with these students. And they said this. The principal said, "Your scriptures demand that you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and take care of the homeless. Your scriptures demand that. Well, we're not hungry and we're not naked. We have food enough. But we don't have the Spirit. We don't have God in our life, and you can show us the way." Take that to one of our public schools today. 2 years before the collapse of the Communist Party in 1989, so it's been 1987, Bishop tells the story that at a Communist Party rally, that for 55 minutes, one of the Communist leaders stood up and criticized God and the very idea that there was a supreme being, and that they gave one of the bishops 7 minutes for rebuttal. He walked to the microphone and he said, the bishop walked to the microphone and he said, "Christ is risen. It is said that the entire audience hollered back, "Christ is risen." The second time, he said, "Christ is risen." And they responded, "Christ is risen." And the third time, he said, "Christ is risen." And they said, "Christ is risen indeed." This morning, without any threats, without anyone threatening us, here in this great land, we have the privilege to affirm that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let us continue the journey as a family of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we will have our prayer warrior message.
Good morning. I've been asked to say a few words about the prayer warrior ministry. I've had the privilege of being on both sides of this ministry. I've experienced the comfort and assurance of knowing that my own children have had someone in this ministry praying for each of them by name. I've also been a prayer warrior myself and have been blessed with the opportunity of praying for two different sets of children. This has been a most wonderful experience and has really helped me gain some wonderful and lasting relationships within the church. I've had some people tell me that they don't want to commit to this ministry because they don't have time. And I understand that with our busy lives that we could often see time as maybe an obstacle to prayer. Yet it amazes me how many times we can squeeze into our busy schedules just something that seems important enough. We can always take advantage of times we find ourselves sitting and waiting for appointments, sitting in the car line, waiting for our children, or simply driving in our cars. Others tell me they're hesitant to do it because they're afraid they might forget to pray on some days. And all I can say is we're all human, and I am not perfect and certainly don't have a perfect memory myself. All I can say is just to pray to God to please remember our children when we might forget to pray. Our prayers can and do make a difference. Intercessory prayer is a very powerful form of prayer, and it not only benefits the ones we're praying for, but it also gives us special time with God our Father. If you haven't experienced this prayer warrior ministry, I just encourage you to try it. It's wonderful. Thank you.
In January 2000, a member of the Disciple One Bible study class told about a former church that had a prayer warrior ministry for its children. Class members were excited as they were told about this ministry, and the class decided that young people of Main Street could benefit from this ministry. The group began to develop a plan for prayer warrior ministry at Main Street, and the congregation became very supportive of this effort. Do y'all have this in your, is an insert? Okay, I won't read all that then. All right. If you go to the litany for prayer warriors, would all the prayer warriors please stand? Christians know the power of prayer. We know that we have a loving God who cares for us. And we know our God listens through our prayers to our deep concerns. We know that God answers our prayers. Each of you has volunteered to become prayer warriors for Main Street United Methodist Church. You have offered to give a part of your personal prayer life and dedicate it to the welfare of a very precious part of this body of Christ, that is, the children of our church. Together, you prayer warriors will pray for every child in this church every day by name. In doing so, you freely give a gift to our children, knowing that someone who may not even personally know them is praying for them out of Christian love and dedication. There's no better example to show than the church is the body of Christ and that all its parts are bound together in love. Prayer warriors, do you promise that you will pray for the welfare of our children? Do you agree that each day you will pray by name for the children assigned to you and that they may grow in the way of Christ? If asked, will you take your children's special concerns to your heart and raise them in prayer? Above all, will you do these things in Christian love, knowing that prayer is a powerful force in seeking God's direction for our children? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will?
With God's grace, I will.
Now that we might accomplish what we hope to accomplish, I would like to call upon the entire church so that those of you who are seated might remember those who are standing, and that this church might become prayer warriors for Christ. I would like the rest of you to stand and pledge yourself to pray for those who are standing. Now, those of you who stand beside your brothers and sisters in Christ, will you promise to pray for these each and every day? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will.
With God's grace, I will.
Let us join together now in singing hymn number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to cut anything off from this prayer warrior ministry, but I do want to acknowledge that 146 prayer warriors are praying for its 176 children and youth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Receive now the benediction. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you and keep you both now and evermore. And for those who are participating in the Prayer Warriors Luncheon, we pray your blessings upon us as we enjoy this time of fellowship together. Dear God, continue to call prayer warriors into your ministry through the power of your Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.